This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our growing online community. We hope that you'll soon be able to join us on a Sunday morning, but in the meantime, you can text prayer request by texting the word prayer to 931-378-6778. And you can make a financial investment by texting any amount to 84321 or going to reallifesango.com/give. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Amen, amen. I invite you to grab a Bible and turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's some black Bibles in the chairs there with you. And Luke 13 is on page 872. Luke chapter 13, page 872 in those black Bibles. If you don't own a Bible, just take one of those black ones as a gift from us. Super glad to give that to you today. In October of 2009, an organization paid $25,000 to put up an advertisement in the subway system in New York City. And the advertisement said, "A million New Yorkers are good without God. Are you?" Bold statement. Kind of in your face. Kind of the anthem of the world that we live in. I'm good without God. And they went great expense to plaster it all over the subways. A million New Yorkers, little peer pressure. We're good without God. Are you? Well, that sentiment is not new. In 1967, a man named Thomas Anthony Harris published a book titled, "I'm Okay, You're Okay." And that curriculum made it into my public school classroom in fourth grade. So we had some ladies come in and do a little session to reinforce the idea, I'm okay and you're okay. And that idea continues to pervade the world we live in, but not just the world we live in. That idea has actually seeped and found its way into the church. Just 4 days ago, the wildly popular Elevation Church, that many of you may love, and we sing their songs from time to time, they tweeted, their little worship account tweeted, "Reminder, you're enough." I mean, sounds really positive, doesn't it? I'm okay, you're okay, I'm good without God. Reminder, you're enough. And no doubt, we have all been brilliantly created in the image of God. The book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, says that we're created in the image of God. And what an amazing purpose. I mean, we've been created with capacity. We've been created with purpose. We've been created with talent. We've been created unique. And you've been told this before, but your fingerprint is unlike anyone else's. You've been created unique with unique gifts, and we're lovers, and we're creators, and we're intellectuals, and man, when you look at humanity, you see something really special because we've been created in the image of God. We're so special that the very reason God created us is found in Isaiah 43:7 that says, "We were created for the glory of God." And I just submit to you this morning that there's no greater purpose that any of us could have been created for. Some of us think we find our purpose in our vocation. And it doesn't really, and I hope this doesn't insult you this morning, it doesn't really matter what we do as much as it matters how we do it and who we do it for. Therein is our purpose. The glory of God, the majestic, brilliant glory of God, hard to define, easier to describe. That's what we were created for. But the Bible tells us in Romans 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the center of the bullseye is reflecting the glory of God. God is love, and we're to reflect his love, and God is holy, and we're to reflect his holiness. But the Bible tells us very clearly that we've all fallen short of the very purpose we've been created for. We missed it. We missed it. So are we good without God? Am I okay? Are you okay? Are you enough? Well, Jesus answers that question in Luke chapter 13. And he answers the question with this simple statement. Unless you repent, you likewise all will perish. Unless you repent, you all likewise will perish. Now, I want you to see in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 and following with me, and I want to explain some of these verses to you, and then I want us to get to that heartbeat of Jesus' statement that you all likewise repent or perish. To answer this question, am I okay without God, and are you okay, and am I enough? Let's look at Luke. In Luke 13, verse 1, there were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now Jesus is interacting with some of his followers here, and they bring up this historical event that we really don't have any record of other than in the Gospel of Luke, but this event where a lot of Galileans were killed at the hand of Pilate. And so he's interacting with them, and their assumption is that these Galileans were killed because they were worse sinners than all these other Galileans. And we always try to figure out, like, the reason for tragedy, don't we? When it happens, we're just scratching our head, asking the big question of why. But Jesus goes on to tell another story, just a little snippet of history, of where this tower fell and killed other people. And so what does he say? Look in verse 4 with me. He says, "Are those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem?" So Jesus was correcting this thought, this idea, that when people suffer, it's always because of a specific sin that they've committed. Listen, friends, some of you need to be broken free from that. Because some of you are living in this terrible mindset of because you're suffering here, because you're suffering here, or because you're suffering here, you necessarily committed some sin against God. Now, let me be clear. Suffering is in the world because sin came into the world. Death is in the world because sin came into the world. Jesus came to reverse death, and Jesus will one day put an end to all suffering. Hallelujah. That's our hope. But listen, friends, if you think that you're suffering today because of a sin that you necessarily committed, that's not necessarily true. And that's what Jesus is wanting to clear up here. He's saying, no, look, I mean, they didn't all die at the hand of Pilate, and that tower didn't fall on all of them because they were all worse sinners. No. And so he takes the opportunity to actually teach a really fundamental, important issue. And what he says is no, they're not worse sinners. You all likewise must repent or perish. Now, I don't know what you think of when you hear the word repent. I don't know what you think of when you hear the word repent or perish. I'll tell you what I think of. I think of like angry preachers just yelling and holding up signs. Does that come to your mind? That's what comes to my mind, because often on their sign it's like, "Repent or go to hell," you know, and it's like, "Angry preacher, here's my sign," and they're protesting this or they're protesting that, and they're holding up a sign and they're yelling angrily, "Repent or go to hell." And let's be clear, Jesus' word here is a word of warning. He says, everyone must repent or they'll perish. So it is a clear word of warning, but that's not all it is. Now let's unpack what repent means. Repent means you do a complete 180 change of mind, change of heart that results in change of living. Okay? So when Jesus says repent, he's saying you're living one way, you as the king of your life, you holding this value system, you holding this attitude system, you with these commitments, doing your own thing, good without God, I'm living my life. And to repent means, no, I'm not good without God. I need him. To repent means you're cruising around going, I'm enough, I'm okay, you're okay, all is well. And to repent means, no, all is not well. I have fallen short for the very purpose I've been created. I must turn. But we're not just turning away from something. We're turning to someone. And we turn to Jesus. We turn to the one that can forgive us of our sin. So yes, repent or you'll perish is a sober word of warning. And if you rolled in here this morning and the anthem of your life was, I'm good without God, then you need to feel a sober warning in your bones. But it's not just a word of warning. It's an invitation to grace. It's an invitation. Because when we're going our own way, messing it all up, rebelling against God, or just uninterested in God, and we turn to Jesus, we will always find grace, forgiveness, mercy, and love. Listen, not a single one of you today, if you turn to Jesus, trusting in him, not a single one of you will receive anything but grace. The gift of forgiveness that we don't deserve, that we could never earn. Hallelujah, I'm free. I'm free from condemnation. I'm free from shame. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from the penalty of my sin. When I turn from my life of sin and I turn to trust in Jesus, the only one that can save me, the only one that can forgive me. What's the opposite of perish? Live. So if you don't repent, you'll perish. But if you repent, you'll what? Live. Jesus in John 11, he said it this way. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. In John chapter 10, Jesus said it this way. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And then in John 3:16, perhaps one of the most well-known verses that most of us know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world. That's what was driving his heart to send Jesus to the cross. For God so loved the world that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus says, I came to give them abundant life. I came to give them resurrection life. I came to give them eternal life. So when you turn to Jesus and you trust in him, that's what you take hold of. So this call to repent, yes, it's a sober warning. And if you don't pay attention and you don't, hello, Jesus is speaking. If you don't give him your ear and give him your heart, you will go down a one-way road. There will be nothing but sadness and darkness. But celebrate, hallelujah, when we turn. It's joy and peace in the goodness of God forever, a relationship with God forever, forgiveness of our sin forever. So this call to repent, I hope for the rest of your life, when you hear the word repent, you hear party. Party. Listen, the apostles said it this way. They said, repent therefore and turn to the Lord and experience times of refreshing. Refreshing. Has life just been a stick in the mud for you? Well, the Lord invites you to refreshment. And Jesus is saying, look, this has to happen in every person's life genuinely, down in their heart. They each have to make a personal decision to turn from sin and turn to Jesus. And we do that once, and then that sets a trajectory on our life to where the rest of our life is all repentance. We fall into sin every day, we turn back to Jesus. We fall into not trusting in Jesus, and we're reminded when we sing a song like we just sang, no, Jesus is enough, right? We battle unbelief, and we battle doubt, and then we turn back in faith, and we trust in Jesus. So the big idea this morning, it's really simple. Turn to, trust in, and treasure Jesus. Our mission at Real Life is this: delighting in God and discipling others. And we don't want you to miss that delighting in God piece. And that's what I mean by treasure Jesus. Listen, the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. What that means is this: all those things that we look to in life to try to find satisfaction, they're empty wells and they'll always disappoint us. God gives us good gifts to enjoy, but not to worship. God gives us good gifts to point us to the one who is ultimately satisfying. So listen, when you turn from your sin and you turn to Jesus to trust in him, it's not just to have your debt canceled, though hallelujah, it's no longer ours. It's not just to have your sins forgiven, though hallelujah, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But it's to bring us into a personal relationship with God, where we get to enjoy him. We get to know him better. And listen, this is what happens. The longer you walk with God in a personal relationship, the more deeply you love him. You can't love him. You can't walk with him and not love him. You can't read the scripture and not treasure him. You can't draw near to him and not have your heart delighted in him. So for some of you, you just got to throw away the insanity of trying to find satisfaction and joy in all those other areas and turn to trust in and begin to treasure Jesus today. But there's a number of things that when we hear that, they just creep in and they begin to tempt us to put it off. You know what I mean? I talk to so many people, and the mindset is you know what? When I have kids, I'll get serious about Jesus, you know? And then others, they just put it off to like grandkids, you know? Like that's what a grandfather's supposed to be, you know? He's supposed to be a church-going, Jesus-loving, you know, bounce on my knee, I'm going to take you to church, grandpa, you know? And people, it's like they want to kind of do their deal, and they want to put off following Jesus to another day. And I want to say, turn to Jesus, trust in him, treasure him today. Why? Why am I saying today? Look at verse 6 through 9. Jesus then tells a parable, and I love the way Jesus teaches. He's always teaching in stories. He's just breaking it down so we can understand. I know there's some hard things to understand in the Bible, but Jesus doesn't want to make it unnecessarily difficult to understand. So he teaches in these stories, and he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to this vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've been coming to seek fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Makes sense, right? It's like, it's just a weed. It's a giant weed. There's no fruit. It's just taking up space. We could plant something like a flower there and be beautiful. Instead, we just have a frustrating, non-fruit-bearing tree. Just cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? Verse 8. And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Verse 9, then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. What's the point of this little story? It's Jesus saying, the Lord will not bear with you forever. In other words, if you're hardening your heart to the Lord today, don't assume that you're going to have the capacity to soften your heart to the Lord tomorrow. Where do we see that? We see that with Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh hardened his heart, and he 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 hardened his heart, and then God hardened his heart. Do you see it? And listen, one moment, in one day, in one week, in one month, of hardening your heart to the Lord is really, really dangerous. Because there's no guarantee that one day of hardening is going to set you up that when you When you're ready to soften your heart, it's just going to happen. No, listen, when you harden your heart, it only leads to harder and harder and harder and harder heart. Do you see? Do you see? We cannot procrastinate God. We cannot put off the Holy Spirit. It is dangerous to delay obedience. Don't let apathy rob you from the abundant life that Jesus wants to give you. Don't let cynicism keep you from experiencing eternal life. Friends, let's feel this call to repent in our bones today. You know, we believe that God has spoken clearly through his word. That's why we just open it up and preach through books like Luke. God has spoken, and I don't have anything clever to say. We just want to say what God has said. So we go through his word to say, this is what God has said. And I just find it remarkable that Jesus uses this story of a tower falling. A tower falling in the Tower of Siloam and people dying in this tower falling just a month after this condo unit in Miami just fell. I don't know if you paid attention to the news. I mean, it's good for the soul not to most days, right? It can get crazy. And so Jesus, early in the text that we were looking, Jesus was saying, look, don't look at this and assume that, man, that building must have been filled with a bunch of sinners, you know, like the worst sinners in all of Miami, right? There they were, right? I mean, we kind of joke about it, you know, like, you know, people talk about walking in the doors of a church and making sure there's no cracks in the ceiling, you know, when they walk in, you know what I mean? Like, Jesus said, no, don't look at tragedy and try to figure out or try to assume that there are worse sinners. But what Jesus does want us to do when we see a tower like this is I think he wants us to remember this text in Luke 13 where he said that this tower fell and people died and it wasn't because they were worse sinners. No, I tell you, unless you all likewise repent, you'll perish. There's a man that dear to our church, got 7 kids and he's in the hospital today and just about 12 days ago, 11 days ago, he had cardiac arrest in a moment. So I don't say any of that to try to scare any of us, but rather this is the world that we live in where we're not promised tomorrow. We can't bank on our heart being soft tomorrow and we can't bank on having breath tomorrow. We must turn to Jesus, trust in him and treasure him today, not tomorrow. Today. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? And just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I know that there's some here today that you've never trusted in Jesus, but perhaps just as you heard the word, as you heard the songs, something stirred in your heart. Something stirred in your heart and made you curious, or maybe you sense the Spirit convicting you and showing you your need for Jesus. And today you want to ask Jesus to forgive you. And you want to turn to him for the very first time in your life. I just want to give you an opportunity to express that to the Lord silently right where you are. And just pray something like this. If you want to turn to Jesus for the first time in your life, just say something like this. Lord, I know I'm on a path that's leading nowhere. And I know I have sin, and I need you to forgive me. Jesus, I believed you died and rose again. Today I'm turning to you, and I'm trusting in you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Thank you, God. If today you prayed a prayer like that in your heart for the first time, would you just look up at me and raise your hand high? Nobody's looking around, but I just want to connect with you here. So I want to pray. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time to say, I'm trusting Jesus today, would you just lift your hand? If you're here today and the idea of treasuring Jesus stirs longing for you, where you know you want to delight in him more deeply, And you just say, Pastor, I've been looking for satisfaction in all these things. I've trusted in Jesus, but I really want to treasure him today. I want to treasure him tomorrow. I want to enjoy him. I want to delight in him. Would you pray for me? If that's your heart and you just want me to pray for you, just lift your hand up. Let's see you, friend. Anybody else? Just say, I want to treasure Jesus today. Yeah, I see you, friend. Father, thank you for your amazing grace that every time we turn to you, we just meet this waterfall of your love. Father, thank you for warning us, and thank you for inviting us into your mercy and into your grace. Lord, we pray that you would just give us a spiritual hunger for you. Give us spiritual sight to see how delightful you are and what a treasure you are. Father, we are not good without you, and we are not okay, and we are not enough. But Lord, in you, Jesus, we're enough. And because of you, Jesus, we're okay. And because of you, Jesus, we will be with God forever. So we give you praise today, Lord. We just give you praise. We love you, not like we ought, but we love you today. And we just thank you for your great love for us. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real, keep it Jesus.